Tonight. Open up your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share with you some experiences I've had and a dream that I had. Ephesians chapter 6. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for those that will listen later. I thank you, Father God, that you are with us. Holy Spirit, come. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Help us, Lord, to process this information. Help us to apply it in our lives. Help us, Lord, to grab hold of everything that you are giving us tonight, that we might be better equipped in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord. Settle things around us. That we might focus on what you have for us. In your precious and holy name. Amen. So just keep your finger in Ephesians 6, and we're going to close up with that. I want to share a few things with you tonight, because these are things that the Lord gave me. Some of this is he gave me some time ago, back in November, and there's a couple of visions, an experience, and then a dream that I had this week that I want to share with you. Now, this whole message, as the Lord began to unpack it for me, to bring to you tonight, he said, I am preparing you. I am preparing my people for the hurricane. Remember last week and the week before, we've been talking about the hurricane. We've been talking that 2022 is the year of the catalyst. And last week, as I shared on the course correction, we are the course correction for this nation. That's not going to be an easy process. It's going to be a difficult process that requires the intercessors to rise up and carry the nation through. And so this message tonight is geared to arm you up and to prepare you so that we can carry this nation across the finish line. We are in a very serious time in history. And if you were with us last week, if you were with us as I shared on the hurricane back in October when the Lord first gave it to me, and I revisited that last week just on the seven major things that we're going to go through to really bring about a course correction in our nation, and what God is going to do through that hurricane that we're about to go through, you'll understand. But if you didn't get a chance to, you know, you're kind of seeing a little bit of the end from the beginning, and so you can get this, you can arm yourself up, and then go back and listen to it. So I want to talk to you about the season that we're in our nation's history. And it is not unlike what was experienced back in the 1700s when we were going through the Revolutionary War. That's what we're in right now. We're in a revolution. And that's what the Lord has been saying. And if you are part of Joel's army, you know we pray about the seven R's. And revolution is one of those R's. And in 2020, that was released, the revolution. Why do we need a revolution? To bring us into a course correction and right the wrong that's been done in our nation. So I'm going to give you a very brief touch on the Revolutionary War. Very, very brief, like the shortest summary that you'll ever have in history, and it's only to bring about a point so that we can take that and bring that with us into today. In August of 1776, Washington's army in New York City surpassed in numbers what England mustered to put down the resurrection. However, by midsummer, after a British armada, which was an aggressive, highly trained mercenary group, landed an invasion force on Long Island, in battle after battle, skirmish after skirmish, England proved its military superiority. Patriots died, they suffered horrendous wounds, or they were captured and imprisoned in rotting derelicts among rat-infested jails. Many more succumbed to malnutrition and disease, and others just gave up and went home. What began as a rebel army numbering well over 30,000 by year's end at the Battle of Trenton, when the American cause gasped its last breath, or seemingly last breath, and then found new life, the army had thinned to barely 2,500 desperate men fighting for the nation. So the question for us is, because clearly we won the Revolutionary War, so the question that we have tonight is, what gave them this last breath that enabled them to find new life? And I've asked the Lord this many, many times. What gave those men, those few, a fraction of the remaining soldiers, not even highly trained soldiers, they were men with heart, provoked by the Black Robe Regiment, which were the pastors of the day, that rallied the troops of their congregation to go and fight for the freedom in this nation. Freedom against tyranny. What caused those men, the remnant, to rise? In November 15th of last year, the Lord gave me a vision. As George Washington led the Revolutionary War to wrest this nation from the tyrannical British government, they were about to consume the nation, stripping of her wealth, her resources, and ultimately bring the people into bondage under England. I saw, it was here, that I saw the angels go to the soldiers, rest their hands upon them, and minister strength. More than strength, it was an inner fortitude to carry on. Their bodies needed ministry, but deep within, they needed a divine impartation and revelation of what they were fighting for. And it came. It came. A breath of life. I saw the angels hover over these soldiers and impart strength. And I saw the soldiers rise up. I want to tell you, the conditions the soldiers fought in the Revolutionary War were the most physically demanding, the most, the harshest conditions that you can possibly imagine. They were starving. Supplies were very, very low. Many untrained individuals ended up in hand-to-hand combat. The women rallied around, bringing gunpowder in their aprons to the soldiers. The women were a big part of the Revolutionary War because they helped our soldiers carry on as they brought them supplies, as they sewed them clothing. Many of our soldiers, they would strap fabric to the bottom of their feet because they had no shoes. There's pathways that history tells us that were bloody trails because their feet literally frozen would break open and bleed in the snow. But when the angels came and imparted strength to those men, something rose up within them to carry on. I asked the Lord, I said, there had to be something that was imparted into them, because clearly their bodies, while they so desperately needed healing, there was more that you imparted to them in that moment. And he showed me the revelation he gave those men of what they were fighting for. The revelation of the destiny of this nation. He imparted into them through his ministering servants, the angels, an understanding. They were fighting against tyranny. He imparted within them an understanding of the destiny of this nation and the covenant made at the discovery of this nation, and then again when those founding documents were signed. This was a pivotal moment in the war that compelled the men to move forward. Something from deep within enabled them to move on. The Bible talks about the angels coming to minister to those in need. Hebrews 1:14 tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Matthew 4 talks about after Jesus fasted 40 days and was tempted of the devil, the word says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So the word teaches us, and we also saw this with Elijah, when the angel would come and feed him and minister strength to him. He slept. The angel came, woke him up, fed him again, and he went on the strength of that food for 40 days. The word teaches us that when we're in need, the Father sends his ministering angels to strengthen us. So what does that have to do with today? Well, we're in a revolution, as I said before. That's where we are today. And we don't have soldiers on the ground walking barefoot in the snow, but we do have intercessors. And you are the soldiers. You are those that are carrying this nation across the finish line. We are under this ministry, and I know there's people out there that are praying, and every prayer ministry matters. I want you to know that every prayer ministry matters, and they're strategic in the work that's being done. We are fighting to wrest this nation from tyrannical rule that seeks to put us into bondage and destroy the nation that God ordained to birth the third great awakening and spread the gospel, and provide a place of refuge from religious persecution and tyranny, both now and in the end times. So God is raising up a new breed of patriots to stand, and he's raising up the intercessors who've been praying them into this fight alongside the nation. So as I continue to wait before him, the Lord expounded on that vision. And I saw him come because I asked him, what does that mean for us today? And I saw the Lord send his ministering angels down to minister to the intercessors. They were here. They were protecting. They were strengthening our men and women for the battles that they faced. They would lay their hands upon them to revive their spirits and help them press in and press on. It was truly an amazing experience to witness the heavenly host empowering those who fought for this nation then and those who fight for this nation now. Many receive strength and inner fortitude to stand strong to the end. the things they heard from those around them, the media, and even, you know, people on the street, even friends or family, I think we've all experienced this, did not cause them to waver in their stance. Their call had been given to them by the Lord. Those angels are here for us to ensure we fulfill our commission to wrest the nation from the hand of the elite. And you are helping to stand against tyranny and thrust our nation further into her destiny. However, I saw some who were not being strengthened. And so I asked the Lord why. And he allowed me to see into the spirit. And I saw the intercessors holding up a shield. And it had F-E-A-R written across the shield. Fear causes unbelief, and it causes that unbelief to settle within us. If there's doubt, it causes doubt to settle within us. And I'm not saying that those that are on this line, those that will listen later, are experiencing this. I believe that there are those, however, who are dealing with fear periodically. The Lord has shown me three separate times. Intercessors who are struggling, intercessors who wonder how long this will carry on, the patriots, those that are fighting alongside us, those that are standing, they wonder how long, and they become weary in their fight. So the angel that was assigned to that intercessor or that individual stood beside them waiting for their shield of fear and unbelief to come down and for them to lift up their shield of faith so they could strengthen them. The angels have not left those who fear and doubt. I remember I sent out, shortly after the election, I sent out a message. It said, hold the line. And week after week, the Lord kept giving me messages, hold the line, because God is going to right this wrong. He is going to right this wrong. That's his promise to us. And he showed me that so clearly. And I received a message back from someone who said, hold the line for what? And I thought, you know, I could rise up in my flesh right now and probably not respond very nicely. I could rise up and give all of my natural reasoning to this. But the truth is, what I saw coming from that individual was fear. Fear and doubt had settled in. And so instead, I tried to encourage that individual. And you say, well, I mean, if the angel is sent there for us, can't they get through all of that? Well, when Jesus went and ministered in Nazareth, and that was in Mark chapter 6, when he went and ministered in Nazareth, and that's like the first six verses, what happened? He was there to minister to them. He was there to heal them. He had already gone through other cities, and he had brought many, many people to health and deliverance. But when he went to Nazareth, his hometown, the people doubted, and they had unbelief in their hearts. And so he could not minister to them. Only a few miracles were done in his hometown, because they doubted. It's very important that we lift up our faith and stand in agreement with God's perspective. I talked about this, I think it was in December. I talked about looking at history through God's perspective. That is more important today than it's ever been. So let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That includes the spirit of fear. So wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What are the fiery darts? That is the things, those are the things that the enemy launches at our shield to cause doubt, to cause chinks in our armor, to cause us to weaken in our stance. I did a message, it's been probably 3 years now, on the armor of God. I did a series on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. You can go to our website and listen to those audios. Just type in Ephesians in the keyword. My mom has written a very inspired book, Putting on the Breastplate of Righteousness. You can read that book and come to understand the power of the armor of God and what it means to function when you wear the armor of God. But for the purpose of this message, to prepare you to continue on in the revolution, knowing and understanding that we're about to go through some very, very difficult times, as I shared in the hurricane message. Picture yourself standing or stand. Get a visual. Get some blood pumping. Stand up. The shield of faith, the shield that the Roman army used at this time, was almost the height of a man. It curved around the soldier so that he could, with very, very quickly, he could bend his knees and tuck himself behind the shield. So any darts that were sent, any stones that were thrown, any arrows that were released from their bow would hit that shield instead of the soldier. It was very effective in the warfare against the enemy. So when Paul writes about this armor, and he is watching that soldier put his armor on, viewing and visualizing the armor that this Roman soldier is putting on, he is considering the armor of God that is spoken of even in the Old Testament. Moses talks about the armor of God. David talks about the armor of God. It's very important that the believer carries and wears on a continuous basis the armor of God. The shield of faith is truly that which keeps you protected from enemy attack. And when you have your shield of faith up, you can tuck yourself behind it, and anything the enemy launches at you will hit that shield and fall to the ground. So the shield of faith, what is faith? Faith is always a gift of God, gift from God. It's never something that can be produced by people. In short, faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion, and therefore distinct from human belief or confidence, yet it involves that. What does that mean? Faith is really a seed that's been planted within us. And when we come to know the Lord, that seed begins to grow. When we come to know Him, when we read His word, when we spend time in prayer, faith grows. It's God's divine persuasion. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we come to understand His divine will. He begins to persuade us or impart to us an understanding of His perfect will. So when we, as His warriors in this army, in this time of history, spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer, what does He do? He imparts to us the revelation of what we're fighting for, just like the soldiers who fought in the Revolutionary War. He imparted to them what they were fighting for. Why? Because the destiny of this nation is that important. Say, well, there's lots of nations. There's 180-ish. There's a lot of nations out there. Can't he use one of those? No. Because the covenant made by our covenant-keeping God with those who came here is eternal. He has promised, he covenanted that this nation would be a nation from which the gospel will flow. This nation would be an end-time refuge for those enduring persecution. Do you know that for the last many decades, our nation has been a refuge nation from those that are enduring religious persecution in their nations? This nation must stand. This nation has sent out more missionaries, more Bibles, and more funding to nations around the world than any other nation in the world. Why? Because the covenant is there. It's eternal. So when we overcome, and we put down our shield of fear, that barrier for the impartation of his faith, and we lift up our shield of faith, he will pour into us, depositing into us an understanding of what his divine will is for the path that we're on today. Friends, we must not give up. We must stand strong. We must. We are in a revolution. I can't tell you how important this is, that we grab hold of this understanding. We are in a revolution. And we must get this nation across the finish line, because the elite are trying to take this nation and rule us through tyranny. And, you know, I mean, you probably figured that out in the last 2 years. But this has been our boot camp to prepare us so that God can impart his preferred will into our heart. This weekend I was praying, and I had a vision of the nation. And I saw the intercessors pick up this nation and carry it across the finish line. And because of the intercessor, we were able to fulfill the destiny that God set before her. And he told me that the covenant he made with this nation's settlers, with this nation's founders, still stands. He will save this nation. He will send his gospel forth from this land, and he will make it and keep it a refuge nation. 2022 will be the year of redemption, a year of expansion, and a year of course correction. And they will say, only God could do what we saw in 22. Only God could do what we saw in 2022. So I know this has been a very difficult season that we've been in. And we've had people ask us, how much longer? How much longer? And I'm telling you that the next few months are going to be difficult. But you have been training for this. It's already in you to finish the race. So if you feel fearful, if you feel doubt, bind up the spirit of fear, pick up your word and read it. Encourage yourself in the promises of God. Encourage yourself in his word and allow his spirit to impart to you a vision of what he's doing in this hour and the final outcome. I want to give you one last thing, and then we got to close. I woke up from a dream on the 9th. And in the dream, DeSantis, the Florida governor, he was making massive headlines across the nation. It was regarding critical race theory, the vaccine and mask mandates. He was implementing patriotic legislation. These were all headlined. And I didn't know that he was going to do his State of the Union speech on Tuesday, or I would have watched that. But he has been a key figure since then. He's been a key figure in the headlines every day this week. In the dream, I saw that DeSantis was about to create a tremendous shift in the nation that will actually lead to a mighty breakthrough. And I saw President Trump standing behind him in the background of each event. And the Lord said, he is my sign, this meaning DeSantis, he's my sign. Keep your eye on Florida. Keep your eye on DeSantis. And you will begin to see where I am taking this nation. DeSantis' actions are like the prophecy of the event that's coming. You know, the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to his prophets, and we release that over the nation. And sometimes it can take a week. Sometimes it can take a decade before we see it come about. And the Lord is saying, keep your eye on DeSantis. Keep your eye on him. You want to know what's coming to this nation as a whole? You want to know the changes I'm going to implement in this nation? You are watching these tyrannical leaders trying to bring oppression and outright. I live in California. I understand what it's like to be under a tyrannical governor. You want to know what I'm going to do about it, says the Lord? Watch DeSantis. Because you're going to see, in the end, those policies rolled out across the nation. So hold fast, brothers and sisters. It is going to be a bumpy ride. A hurricane is not an easy thing to pass through. But as we do, we are going to see the hand of God move and right the ship. You will never regret the time you've spent standing for righteousness. You will never regret the time you've spent in prayer. You will never regret lifting this nation up and carrying it across the finish line. Because you are paving the way for your children or your grandchildren to live in a nation without tyranny and spread the gospel around the world. Father, I thank you for these intercessors. I thank you, Father, for every one of them. I thank you, Father God, that they have been so faithful. I thank you, Lord, that even when they're weary, they come here to hear the word of the Lord. I thank you, Father God, that even if they don't understand it, through faithfulness, they press through. And Father, for those that are struggling in this hour, I ask that you would lift up, Lord God, help them to lift up their faith that they would hear the word of the Lord, that they would receive the word of the Lord, that they would be encouraged and be able to walk this through to victory. Help them, Lord God. Help us all. Help us all, Lord God. Let us encourage one another. Let us strengthen one another. And together, we will see this nation in victory. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. And thank you. John texted me. He said it's a State of the State address, not the State of the Union. So I apologize.